Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together, we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host here, along with my son, Zach Clinton. Thanks for joining us. We have a special program for you today. Today, our special guest is Dr. Chinwe Williams. She's the founder and owner of Meaningful Solutions Counseling and Consulting. She's a licensed professional counselor and board-certified counselor and a counselor educator and supervisor. She earned her doctorate in counselor ed and practice from Georgia State University, her master's degree in counseling from the University of Georgia. She has over 15 years of experience in working with adolescent, young adults, adults, couples, and families. She is a uniquely trained, strength-based approach leader in our field, and we appreciate her and her commitment to helping treat children, especially with relationship trauma, and that's the subject of our program today. Dr. Williams, what a delight to have you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. I had such a wonderful conversation with Zach on his podcast. Thanks for having me again.
Well, we were honored to have you. Chinwe, I want to start this way. It's been a tough go over the last couple of years. I think everybody would agree with that. And it was only intuitive that we would begin to see kind of an uptick in mental health issues. And boy, have we seen that. From depression to stress and anxiety to even suicidality, especially among our kids. Chinwe, you're out on the front lines. I mean, I've looked at a lot of your work history and more and what you do currently. What are you seeing? What has your attention?
Yeah, so I have been, just a little bit of background. I have been a school counselor. I have been a graduate school instructor, and I'm currently working in a private practice setting where I see adolescents. I see young adults, I see families. So I always share that when I started my career as a school counselor, gosh, 18 years ago, what I am seeing now just doesn't compare to what I saw then. And I saw depression. I saw instances of despair. I saw families that were going through a really difficult time. I will tell you that the pandemic did no service for youth mental health and for the families and for the youth leaders that love young people. They have absolutely experienced just what I'm experiencing really in the therapy room, which, as you mentioned, a rise in depression, rates of self-harming, suicide rates. It's been really, really tough. But what I want to mention to your listeners is, while the pandemic exacerbated all of these rates of distress among youth, it didn't start it. We actually have been looking at research for about 10 years that was indicating that there was a trend going in the wrong direction as it relates to youth mental health, and then the pandemic just blew it up. So we're seeing a lot. Kids have had difficult experiences. And when you think about adolescence in particular, I started my career as a high school counselor. I work with kids, but I really focus my work and my writing on adolescence because it's such a difficult time of change and transition, you know, biologically, what's happening socially. And so a lot of this we all have experienced, but what really is new are the pressures that our young people are facing, higher expectations, definitions of success that we didn't have, our parents didn't have, and just the need for sort of immediate gratification and warding off what they would deem as negative emotions, but they're experiencing them. So their strategy isn't working. And I've also been excited to share with parents and adults that there are strategies that can help to mitigate the effects of the youth mental health crisis that we are facing.
Chinwe, it was just a few months back, the CDC reported some of their findings from 2021. This is post-pandemic, right in the middle of it. And they found that 57% of our daughters and granddaughters had reported being persistently sad. In other words, struggling with the depression, and you used the word despair and more. Even more, they found that 30%, one out of three of our daughters and our granddaughters, had struggled with suicidality. In other words, thoughts of taking their life. And that, I agree with you. We had a crisis. We don't have a crisis. We're kind of in disaster mode right now. And Chinwe, a lot of moms and dads, they get this because they're seeing it. And they're turning up right now the volume and saying, listen, I'm concerned about my daughter. I'm concerned about my granddaughter. I'm concerned about some of the girls in our Sunday school class. What is fueling a lot of this from your perspective? Because, again, we can't turn a blind eye. And people are turning a blind eye to this stuff, and it's ridiculous. There's nothing that fires me up more than that. We have got to press in here, and we've got to do something about it. But, Chinwe, what do you think? What are some of the contributors to this? Because I'm going to go to a place, too, and I want to talk about closeness with our kids. Somewhere we've lost connectedness. But what's fueling this fire?
That's it. There are a number of things. If you look at the psychological literature, they will point to multiple things that are contributing to the crisis. So I'm just going to really highlight three things. And some of it might be sort of like ouch and maybe even controversial, but I think you're probably going to be right there with me. So I say this with a lot of grace. So the first thing that I want to say with a lot of grace is that there has been two things happening. When parents and caregivers see a child in distress, and this is not across the board, but this has just been what I'm seeing and what we see in the literature, there are two primary responses. It's to sort of rescue, pull the child completely out of the situation so there will be no distress to be had, which, by the way, does not make sense from a psychological perspective, because that's how kids learn resilience, is being able to manage those difficult life situations. And they're never going to learn those skills if we pull them out. And I understand the urge, as I share with parents all the time. I'm a mama bear. I came from a mama bear. No parent, no grandparent wants to see their child or their grandchild, or no leader wants to see their student in distress. But we cannot pull kids from difficult life circumstances, because again, that's how they learn to manage. So that's number one. Number two, and I think you're going to kind of be there with me, relates to this fast-paced, I think, technology-driven society that we have become, and it's only going to get worse. And how many times, Dr. Tim, have you gone to a restaurant and you see whole families, entire families, maybe celebrating a graduation? They're all looking down.
Yeah, they're on their phone.
I've seen people with whole laptops, so not just even phones. I'm like, really? Okay. And no one even really bats an eye. But of course, it's like they're sort of numb to what's happening. You can't see yourself, but other people are observing. And what does that communicate? You know, that family time isn't sacred. That connection to technology is really leading to more and more disconnection. And as much as we want to point to, you know, the cell phone as being a problem among teenagers and young adults, we as adults have to really take a hard look at our own usage. And again, I say this with a lot of grace, and I'm someone who has had to do some hard, assessments as well, because work, you know, beckons at every hour, and think people have needs. And those are a couple of things, including the pressures that have really, really increased, academic pressure, social pressures for young people.
Interestingly enough, probably every parent listening right now knows whether or not you're close with your son or your daughter. I can say my child's name, Zach, my son. I know whether or not I'm close with him. He's grown now, but I still know. My daughter, Megan, she's grown. She has two children of her own. I know whether or not I'm close to her. Chinwe, God kind of just wires that into us. And there's something about that relationship that's so important, so significant. And they call that exercise between a parent and a child parenting. And it's a responsibility. It's really a beautiful gift that we have. It's a privilege that's ours. But Chinwe, a lot of our capacity to, quote, work through, deal with issues that come our way, bring balance into our own life, relates back to that bond, doesn't it? And how we do or how we don't do that piece of our life is everything about the rest of our life. And here's what I see in parents. They love their kids. I think the younger generation, a lot of them are stepping up to the plate, and they're doing. They know they want their kids to be safe. They want to provide for them. They want to be there for them. They don't want to go through. They don't want their children to live through what they lived through. But nevertheless, the same patterns somehow come back to roost, if you will. And if we don't uncover this and be honest, we're not going to get this thing right. And this closeness piece is a piece that I see people struggling with, especially in the church. And I can't even believe I'm saying that. But I am watching families constantly struggle with connectedness with their kids.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And I love that you're bringing this up. And I want to just give you credit for the work that you've done and using your voice and really highlighting the importance of connection. And the word that you've used and that I use a lot when I'm talking to families is attachment. So we wrote the book Seen, which is all about how caregivers can help to promote the healing of despair, even if whatever's happening with your child doesn't rise to the level of a mental health diagnosis. It probably won't. Every child will have an experience of sadness, of anxiety, of even despair. But what we know about the brain, what we know about neurological research, is that the brain responds in predictable ways to despair, to anxiety, but the brain also responds in predictable ways to connection. So our brains respond to exactly what you're talking about, the act of parenting, which absolutely should include not just providing shelter, not just providing food and water. All of those things are really important, providing a good education, but also love and empathy, exposure to strong, godly role models. Our brains respond to that in really predictable and profound ways, even when your child is going through a difficult time. So the key, I get this question a lot. My husband and I are going through a separation. What can I do to promote? Well, they don't use that word, but they'll say, what can I do to make sure that my child is okay? I got a call from a parent just yesterday, Dr. Tim. She's got four kids and she's going through a really, really difficult time with her husband. Divorce is not an option for her, but they have not spoken in weeks. And when they do, it's an argument. And so she's really talking about, how do I make sure that my kids are okay, even when I'm not okay, right? So we help to promote healing of the brain through connection. So neuroscience and attachment research is really clear about the role that important adults in a child's life can play. So those early bonds, that's where it starts, and you've written about that, really does have a tremendous impact in the way that a child relates to other people, in the way that the child sees themselves, in the way that the child wants to live and behave in the way of Jesus. Like, all of those things play a role, and oxytocin is the hormone that we talk about in our book and neuroscience informed us around that's responsible for emotional attachment. So even if your child is 15 years old or you've got a young adult at 19 years old, when we help our children to feel seen, when we help our spouses to feel seen, when we pause and we, you know, remove those devices and we are intentional about spending time at the dinner table, making those connections. Early mornings for my kids are the best. Early mornings are chaotic, by the way, for most families. They are chaotic for my family, but there is like a probably 8 to 10 minute walk that I have with my child to the bus stop. I am grateful to God for that time. No matter how much milk was spilled, no matter how much we got tense with each other about, do you have your homework? Where is it? Where's your book bag? When my son and I are walking, it's relaxed. I have a chance to pray over him. I have a chance to pray over his day. He has an opportunity, and this is even really more important, to share what's going on with him. So whatever that looks like in your family, how can you make time to see your kids? Slowing down, being intentional about the pause, recognizing who they are, knowing not just their names, Zach and Meg, but what is interesting to them, knowing what's coming through their social media algorithm. We talk about how our girls are struggling. Our boys are struggling as well in different ways. A lot of it has to do with technology. The more we pause, the more we get a chance to know just the troubles that they're facing, the things that are confusing them.
You and I know that is a word called attunement. When you're dialed into that emotional connectivity with your son or daughter. In the midst of it, we've learned things like this, that the quality of your relationship with your child will even determine the effectiveness of your discipline strategies and more. There's so much here. You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host along with my son, Zach Clinton. Our special guest today is Dr. Chinwe Williams. She's the founder and owner of Meaningful Solutions Counseling and Consulting. She's a licensed professional counselor. We're talking about a book that she co-authored called Seen, Despair and Anxiety in Kids and Teens, and the Power of Connection. Chinwe, I want to come back to that very thing that we were talking about. Even our relationship with God, how we wire with God, how we connect with God comes back to that early attachment relationship between parent and child. You know, for years, Dr. Dobson would teach that we often view God through the eyes of our father. And it begins to make sense when you start really looking at a lot of the science that we've learned here. But you go back to Scripture, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, when she's old, they will not depart from it. And that interpretation, Chinwe, comes back to two different ways to view that verse. One is to train them in the ways of God. So train them up in the ways of God, or train them according to their natural bent. In other words, according to their temperament or personality style. And you may have a son or daughter, if you're listening right now, who is a little more anxious than the other one that you have in your family. And you're saying, yeah, we do. Well, what we're saying is being attuned becomes really important. And I like the interpretation, Chinwe, of that verse being, do both and. Train them up in the ways of God and be sensitive to or attuned to the unique nature of your son or daughter. And when you do that, they'll feel seen, which, by the way, will allow them to then, quote, be soothed in their relationship with you and learn how to deal with the emotional dysregulation that's going to come their way because life's brutal, and lead them to adulthood so they can do the same thing and have a generational flow and effect. Is that the heart of where you're going, Chinwe?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Again, how do we live and love in the way of Jesus? Right? That's a powerful question. And we can answer it in so many simple ways by pointing to biblical scripture. But it's so true that just because something is simple doesn't make it easy. But I think it's so important to see our kids in the many, many of the ways that you just described, and also to teach them grit coping tools. And so one of the very last, well, one of the last chapters and the very last tool that we talk about in our book Scene is to help our kids to develop grit. I'll tell you, Dr. Tim, this is where so many parents, especially parents of faith, especially fathers, will say amen because they are, you know, sort of perceiving this younger generation as lacking grit, mental toughness, lacking resilience. And I am a person that God has wired to be glass half full. I'm typically really, really optimistic. And I have to say yes, talking to teachers across the country, talking to families across the country, talking to families in my practice, our kids have lost a little bit of grit. And grit is defined as passion and sustained perseverance toward a goal, an accomplishment, even when life hits you in the face. Life, body slams you and you get that curveball. So we've got to teach our kids, number one, that's in the Word of God. In this life, you will have trouble. But there are ways to manage and address difficult life circumstances. And just because you have distress doesn't mean you have depression. So that's number one. That's not going to be our identity. That's not what we're going to go to. First of all, negative emotions are part of being mentally healthy. It's the way that you manage that. And so the connection we have with our kids, what you and I are talking about, that sense of attunement, that will help you to recognize who your child is, the strengths that they possess, the gifts that God has given them, which are really unique, and how to leverage the relationship, how to leverage those gifts to help them to sort of bounce back. And so one of the things that I've noticed in my practice is that kids are really talking to themselves in awful ways. So a grit producing tool or strategy is to help our young people to talk to themselves in a way that really reflects the way that God views them, right? Because if you say something, the same awful thing to yourself over time, that could become part of your identity. So why would we identify with something that just isn't true?
Our special guest again today has been Dr. Chinwe Williams. She's a licensed professional counselor, author of the new book called Seen, Despair and Anxiety in Kids and Teenagers and the Power of Connection. She has such an affection for God, a love for God, and boy, has God given her some real timely wisdom for such a time as this. Dr. Chinwe, on behalf of my son Zach and our entire team here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, I want to say thank you for joining us, and we're going to pray that God's going to continue to raise up your voice for this hour.
Thanks for having me again.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton again for Life, Love, Faith, and Family. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ehlers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. Culture often makes us think hurry is holy, but it's actually hazardous. Hustle seems to be our generation's drug of choice, and it has become addictive. But just because something feels urgent doesn't mean it's important. You see, hurry is not heaven's rhythm. Exodus chapter 20 doesn't suggest Sabbath, it commands it. Clinically, relentless busyness dysregulates your nervous system and shrinks emotional capacity. Spiritually, rest is resistance against self-sufficiency. Even God rested, not because he needed to, but to show us how to be whole. My call to action for you is to schedule a 30-minute rest block this week. Have no agenda or productivity, just presence, because restoration starts with rhythm. This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit AACC.net. That's AACC.net.